Welcome to You Learn Something New Every Day. I am Joan Boyko, Coordinator of Communications and Community Outreach for the Palm Springs Unified School District. We are here each Sunday at 6:30 a.m. on 99.1 FM KGX and 9 a.m. on 92.3 FM KWXY. We also invite you to download and subscribe to our podcast. It is really easy. All you have to do is go to iTunes, look for You Learn Something New, press subscribe, and you will get a new show each week. And this show, of course, is produced by my stellar duo of student interns in the Digital Arts Technology Academy, also known as DATA, at Cathedral City High School, under the direction of Mr. Bryce Johnson, and Jasmine Rivera and Myra Canseco are doing an amazing job. Have not even met them yet. I met them only on Zoom, but, you know, ladies, thank you. I say it every week. I could not do the show without you because I have the easy part. I just show up and talk, and these young women do the heavy lifting. I don't know what happens to everything after I send it to them, but they take it, they edit it, they add the music, and it works out really well. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And today I am very pleased to have on the show our Family Engagement Coordinator, Ruby Rivera. Welcome back.
Thanks, John. Happy to be back.
It's great to see you. And we'll talk about a lot of things. And a half hour is really not enough time for everything that you do, but we'll try to get to it. But first of all, tell us about how long you've been in your current position.
I've been our district's Family Engagement Coordinator. Now this is our fourth year. Prior to that, I was a teacher, so it really just feels like it's my home. Prior to that, I was a student.
Yes, a homegrown girl, and the whole family's homegrown. Her husband, and if you haven't, I say this all the time, but if you have not seen them, I suggest that you look her up on Instagram because the photos are just so awesome, photos and videos. Eddie Rivera is our one of our technology teachers on special assignment. So these two, this dynamic duo, have been there. Oh, and they're adorable, by the way. That's where I was going with this. And they have four adorable children between the ages of, what, 11 and 4?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and they are... They're awesome. They're talented. They're I don't live with them, so I'm sure they have their moments, but they're really good kids because they're used to just being flexible and going and doing and, you know, being with mom and dad in the evenings, so whatever's going on, or seminars, classes, workshops, they just go do their thing. They're great.
They are.
You guys are great parents. And and Ruby says she was a teacher. She was not only a teacher, but she was one of our star teachers. And she was, I think it was your last year of teaching, huh?
It was.
Riverside County Teacher of the Year. Not only the district, but Riverside County Teacher of the Year, right before she was ready to pop out her last baby. And so that's, I could spend the whole half hour talking about that. But you're doing an amazing job, and we're really lucky to have you.
Thanks, John. I'm happy to be in this district, and I know we go way back working together, and
yeah.
So I love, you know, how our relationship has evolved, too.
Yeah, I mean, I know how this mess has been for me personally. I'm working, you know, kind of in the trenches with the leadership team, trying to figure all this out, but you haven't missed a beat since this all happened. This, I mean, the Family Engagement Center had something going on almost every single day, and sometimes multiple things every day. But they were live events.
Right.
So, you had all these series of workshops and fun events for the family, and, you know, there was a dance party, and, you know, Disney, you know, and we'll talk about this, because you figured out how to do all these things without it being in person. But all of a sudden, March 13th, everything shut down, and yet we still had all of these parents and families that were in need of a lot of support, more than ever, right?
Right.
So walk us through what happened, how things changed for, well, first of all, let me just ask you this. As a parent of four little ones, and you still working every day, and everybody being at home, how do you do that?
You know, it's gone surprisingly smooth, and I have to say that it has a lot to do with mindset and being willing to troubleshoot and being willing to try it again if it's not going just perfect. But saying that, honestly, our teachers have been just so wonderful. Having that support has really helped. I think having designated spaces for each child has made a big difference. I think teaching them some of the very basics in advance, and luckily they already had some of the basics down, you know, whether it was in the classroom or from home, using headphones, knowing how to communicate on Zoom with just some basic strategies before the first day of class. So understanding, you know, how to work the video on and off, understanding how to mute themselves on and off, and then having backup plans. So we always, you know, talk about if this happens, if you get logged out, these are the numbers you're going to type in. And so I think that for the most part, it's been pretty easy. I have to say we're fortunate that we have some stable internet. I know not every family has that, and that makes a big difference. So that hasn't been a big concern. And besides that, just wonderful teachers in the district have made all the difference.
So we started, and it didn't happen overnight. I mean, almost overnight, we had, you know, packets available for the little kids, and we had online resources. They weren't necessarily ours. They were resources that were out there to just, you know, kind of keep the kids engaged and finding, you know, relevant work for them to stay engaged. But then within a few weeks, we actually launched distance learning in the spring, and it wasn't as good as it is now. It was, you know, teachers needed training, and it was hold harmless, so it was, please show up, but if you don't, nothing's really gonna happen to you, you know, in terms of your grades and stuff. So participation was decent, but it wasn't, you know, but did your kids engage in the spring too?
You know, in the spring, when we started off with that extension type learning activities, it was nice because of the flexibility. I could do some of the activities with them in the evening after work hours. So there's that as a pro to having more flexible work. But then when our teachers started getting online and doing Google Classroom, Zoom meetings, I think that added a nice social emotional connection for the kids that they were missing with just the extension activities. So based on my conversations with other parents as well, I know we'll talk about coffee chats a little later, but that's where we've been asking parents how things are going and what's working and not working. And in the spring, our parents were saying that the time they appreciated the most was when their students had one-to-one or a whole class with the teacher time. They appreciated having the teacher give the lessons and the instruction. And as great as those extension activities were, they missed that connection with teachers. And so now in the fall that we've really moved to one-on-one on a daily basis,
right,
our parents are really happy with that, our students are happy with that. And I think our teachers are too. You hear them talk about it all the time, about how they miss their students. And so daily one-to-one has just been the biggest difference that was needed.
Well, if you think about it, it's a huge shift from, you know, where we were, you know, 8 months ago to where we are now in terms of, like you said, that, you know, that daily interaction. And, you know, I mean, all of us, I don't think there's a single person in the world, I'm sure there's a few that don't have a daily routine. Right? We all have daily routines, and we get used to that, and it's upsetting when something happens that disrupts that daily routine, whatever it is. If you have something unexpected and you all of a sudden thrown for a loop and you can't do things every day the way you usually do them, it's unsettling. So imagine for a little kid, you know, that is, they have their routine too. And I think for children, I don't know, do you agree that it's probably even more important and more
Absolutely, routine is so important, and I think, you know, it took me a while to learn this lesson as a parent. When we first closed schools, I had told my kids that, you know, this is temporary, and it was birthday season, and that, you know, I told everyone, we're just postponing your birthday party, and we'll do it later, and then suddenly months went by, summer came, and now we're in the fall, and in the same situation. And so one of the things that I learned a little late was that I needed to just embrace what we were living in as our new norm with as much positivity as possible, right, as opposed to saying this was such a terrible challenge that we were just waiting to get past. And I think now that I've done that, we've tried to make distance learning as positive of an experience as possible. And we talk about it a lot, and I think that makes a difference. So this is our new routine until the next new routine comes along.
Right.
And everyone's used to this now, as opposed to we're just doing this for the meantime.
And that's important, and that's also so true, because this is our quote new normal right now.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows how long it's going to last. I mean, we're seeing, you know, September 20th today, our numbers, we're recording this a little in advance, but at the time, because honestly, it's before Labor Day, and we're not sure what's going to happen on Labor Day, but we seem to be moving in the right direction. And if things continue in this vein, like, maybe we can move to bring in some kids back pretty soon. And we hope that that's the case. And it might not happen till after the holidays. We're not sure. So we're preparing to start that process whenever it's safe to do so. And safety and health and safety have to be the priority.
I agree. Absolutely.
You know,
I think we all agree, and it's just figuring out how to get our community work together and get there, because we all want our kids healthy and safe, and we also want them in school. So it's got to be a combined effort.
And we still have a faction of people that don't believe any of this is actually real. You know,
I
don't either, but, you know, and we have the flu every year, and more people die from the flu.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
And
it's also very serious.
We don't know enough about this.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We know all about the flu.
Yes.
And we know why people die from the flu. They have other health issues, and they have, you know, there's complications, and by and large, people don't die from the flu. And by and large, people don't die from COVID either. What we don't know is why the people who, because there's a whole slew of people that have died from COVID and who haven't had any other health issues. And that's the scary part, is what we don't know.
And the long-term effects. I know
exactly.
People have had it and are still in recovery. And it's definitely, I think, a scary thought when you don't know what the
right
long-term effects are of something.
And we as educators, and I tend to start to call myself an educator, though I'm not an educator by trade, but I've been around it for 20 years.
Yeah,
I am in education. I've picked up a few things, but we in education, I can say that, I've said this to a few of my guests, including the assistant superintendent of Ed Services and our superintendent. We have our go-to people, right? We all have a go-to people, and there's like a, you know, there's a hierarchy. And probably, even if you're at the state level, you have the feds that are like kind of like your go-to people, right? So everybody's got a, when it came to this, everybody's in the same boat. Nobody, we've never dealt with this before. So nobody, the people in the job alikes, you know, all the superintendents across the state, across the nation, like, trying to pull the best ideas, and we're all waiting for the latest and the most helpful health information so that can, you know, guide our thinking and our moving forward. And it changes every day, and we're all, you know, everybody's looking to the quote experts, and there really aren't any. I think we've learned that.
But that's an interesting concept. And honestly, that's been my messaging to parents when they want decisions to be made at a district level. You know, it's always that we're waiting for guidance from the county and from the state. And so, yeah, we are looking to somebody to be that expert. But you're right. There's not a lot of information.
And this is not a question of you know, people complaining that you're passing the buck and not, you know, not taking action. You know, we're taking as best action as we can based on the situation, and we have to be guided by health and science. I mean, that's what everybody is, and if the health and science changes, that's not our doing.
Right, it's, and we changed too then.
Exactly. And we have. At the beginning of this, what were we told? You don't need to wear masks. Masks don't do anything, right? And the health workers need them, and don't wear a mask. And now, you better damn well wear a mask, and you're not allowed to go anywhere without one, and right. Masks are very important.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, poor Dr. Fauci got blasted for that. Not his fault. At the time, that was the thinking. And as time goes on and you learn more, you realize, you know, that, okay.
And that's another important lesson that we have to teach our children, too, that when things change, when you have new information, it's okay to also change your actions based on new information. And that's an important life skill that we should accept.
Absolutely right. If you're just joining us, you're listening to You Learn Something New Every Day on KGX and KWXY. And my very special guest and friend is our family engagement coordinator, Ruby Rivera. And so let's talk about what the Family Engagement Center is engaged in with our families from, you know, we could go back to last spring, but I'm afraid we're going to run out of time, so let's not do that.
Okay,
let's about what's going on right now and what's going to be happening for, you know, until we actually get back in a place where we can have groups.
Okay, so Family Center has always offered courses, workshops, events. We're doing pretty much everything that we would have done in a traditional year, but almost everything is virtual. There are some needs that have to be met in person. For example, for our ESL students, our parents who are learning English as a second language, they do an assessment in person. But then they take their classes online. So pretty much everything that we were able to offer in person, we've been able to transition. And that has a lot to do with some really great facilitators, presenters, community organizations that were willing to do the work virtually. And then as a family center, we're doing our best to still offer the fun type family events virtually as well. So in the spring, I would say we did put a lot of focus on the family fun, but then coming back in the fall, we really wanted to make sure we have all of the courses available. So I could tell you a little bit about some of the specific things that we're offering right now, if that works.
Well, yeah, before you do that, I want to talk a little bit about what you guys call Distance Learning 101.
Yes.
Because that was one of, and still is, but not as much, of course, but that was one of the biggest barriers, because their distance learning is a new concept, and especially for the little kids who really didn't have a whole lot of, you know, professional or official work with the devices and virtual learning platforms. Some of them neither do their parents. So what did you do? What was that that distance learning 101 class about?
So we started offering that course in the summer, and to be honest, we thought that we would offer it just once in English and in Spanish, but it became so popular, we offered it every day leading up to the first day of school, and then we continued offering it in August.
And you've had what, like 800 parents?
Yes, at this point, and then we still have some others coming. So we saw that that was a need, and our parents were really interested in the workshop. We covered everything from how to help your child with their social-emotional needs, how to literally set up a good workspace for them, some recommendations for Zoom etiquette, for our working parents, some very specific tips that they could use to help their children while they were doing distance learning on their own. And then we went over all the different platforms that their students might see, especially at the beginning of the summer when courses were not necessarily, schedules weren't all provided yet. That was another big question, just understanding the new schedule. So we would go in depth, you know, by grade level, elementary, middle, and high school, about what a student's day would look like. And then I think some of our more specific classes, so we've had some workshops, some breakouts, and in addition to distance learning, some specific on ParentView or Gmail. And we have parents saying that they need these very specific workshops so they can help their young children. As you said, some of these kids haven't been to school yet, so they haven't used devices.
Right.
And parents understanding, for example, how to help their child get logged into a Chromebook, and then how to go to Google Classroom from there, or what information they can find on ParentView, or help their kids find on StudentView, all of that was really helpful to get things started.
So if you are coming a little late to the party and you still need assistance with this, there's probably an actual class that you can, a live class.
Yes.
But if not, all of these resources are on our distance learning portion of the Family Engagement Center website.
Yes.
So
yes.
Where can they find them?
So they can find it in a lot of places.
Okay.
So basically we recorded the sessions, the whole session. So
great.
If someone wasn't able to attend or they want to go back and reference it, they're on a YouTube station, a Family Center YouTube. They're also linked on our Family Center website, which is just familycenter.psusd.us. But where we're really asking parents to go is to another website where they can find all the technology resources they can imagine all in one place. And that's a pretty easy URL to remember. It's bit.ly/PSUSD2020. And on that website, you'll find the videos, you'll find the handouts if you prefer not to watch the video and you just want to click through the information. And so that's all for distance learning. We also have some Zoom videos, Google Classroom videos, any platform that teachers are using, there's tutorials. And we've collaborated with our district's Tectosas, who already had a lot of material created, and we were able to offer the translated versions of those.
So I think that's great.
The best site for our parents, and hopefully that URL is easy enough that they can remember when they get stuck on something.
If by chance you can, go to the school district's website. There's a drop-down for parents. Family Engagement Center is the first drop down under there, I believe, and you can get to it that way too. And while you're there, you're going to find a whole bunch of other stuff, which I want to give you the opportunity to talk about some of the other activities you're doing. And just as an aside, people learn same way kids, adults learn differently and they process differently. And so for some, sitting in the class, either live or a recorded class is very helpful. And then I typically don't have the patience for that. I'd rather print something out or at least look at it on a screen and do a step-by-step.
Absolutely.
You know, because I read faster than the presenter. You know, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. So
I do. So that's the idea.
Yeah.
Different ways to get the information, whatever they prefer. And I'm the opposite, Jim. I prefer to go to a webinar because if I know I can watch the video anytime, that means it'll go to the bottom
See?
Of the list. So I prefer to sit in a class.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, what else do we have going on?
Well, like you said, technology is the biggest right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's our number one question when we get parent phone calls or emails. It's about technology support. So that's where we're putting a big focus right now with our tutorials and our workshops. And then we have a lot of different parenting courses. Our parenting courses have always been well attended, and now that we're doing them virtually, we are doing separate English and Spanish sessions for most, so that's also been really convenient. We're also trying to offer a morning and an evening course for all of them. Back to technology, actually, there's one other that we haven't started yet. It's our Internet Safety 4-week virtual course, and that one we think that there will be some interest, especially now that our students are online more than ever. And there was always interest in the past, but now that our students are already on their devices, we just want to make sure that their parents understand the best ways to protect their privacy online. So we talk about passwords and sharing of information. We also talk about cyberbullying, helping our parents understand what it means when their students are online, how to be good cyber citizens.
Is that a one-shot class or is that multiple?
That's a four-week course. So we do go in depth.
Mm-hmm.
We use quite a bit of materials. We provide parents with materials as well, things like technology contracts, so they can go back with their family and make agreements about, you know, device time and what's appropriate for them to be on or not. So technology definitely has been a big focus. Another thing that we're doing is just a short workshop called 10 Things Every Parent Should Know. And we shared this about a year ago with families as a one-page document. And it does have a lot of information, but now we've turned it into a Zoom presentation so they can also have an opportunity to ask questions. We also have a substance abuse course and a lot of specific parenting that I don't know if I could just list them. So we have nurturing parenting, strengthening families, positive action parenting, the 7 habits of successful families, is something that we've always offered at every elementary school, and now we're just offering it again, morning, evening for English and Spanish. And that ties in nicely with being able to go back and do family activities. Every course talks about then what can you do with your child. And of course, ESL continues to be a really popular course offering. Now there's a lot of flexibility and courses being offered Monday through Thursday. So a long time, we call those our intensive classes if parents are interested. We've had a couple of years now where our parents have gone through the beginning level of ESL, so we're offering some advanced levels as well.
Do you ask, is this only for our parents?
Well, you know, I've never excluded someone who's not one of our district parents. We do promote it within
our
district.
Well, because we used to have an adult education department and site.
In fact,
that's where you guys are located, your Palm Springs. That used to be adult education. And we haven't had that since the budget cuts of 20, whatever that was. I mean, early 2000s. I mean, it's been a long time. And you guys picked that up, but I was just wondering if it was, and you don't charge anything, right?
Right. Everything's free. Luckily, we have some great community partners. Field is one of them, and Coachella Valley Adult Education is another partner of ours. And then we have offered courses just internally with our own teachers. So some of our Spanish teachers, for example, will offer to teach ESL courses.
That's great.
It is. I absolutely love it. And I'm just so impressed. And I mean, this is personal, but you know, I feel frustrated when people say that our Spanish speakers need to learn English, because I see how hard they try and how much time and effort they put into it. And you know, people want to learn English, and I see it, because we can't offer enough sections with the number of people that want to be in these classes.
Right. Okay, so you're looking at a newsletter there, which I'm so impressed with your newsletter. It's got everything that you really need to know about our Family Engagement Center and what you have going on. How do people get to that newsletter?
I'd say the easiest way is if they go to the Family Center website. It's right on our homepage. And
great.
The great thing about this newsletter is it's just updated regularly.
And then you can subscribe, can't you?
You don't have the subscription.
That's S'more, isn't it?
It's S'more.
You can.
I just started using it actively, and I love it because it has an automatic translation feature with tons of, you know, language options.
I think that, and I'm telling people who are listening, that as you navigate through this, you get to the bottom, I think there's a way that you can subscribe.
That would be
great. And then when you put out a new one, they're just going to get it. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I'm going to look into that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, and so I put on here links. So that's the great thing. It's
right.
It's just, a newsletter with text.
Yes.
If they go to the newsletter, they can go to any...
That's my biggest frustration with social media posts.
Right.
The links don't work because we have to post JPEGs.
Yeah.
Right? And I forget that sometimes. So I'll post a little intro without the link and just post the flyer. And which is great until they come to me and say, we can't click on the link.
Yes.
And then I go back and put the link in there directly. So I'm trying to train myself to just do it automatically, because as great as it is to have a flyer, if it's not interactive, which JPEGs are not,
right.
PDFs are, JPEGs are not, but you can't post on Instagram or Facebook, you can't post PDFs.
Right.
So that's great. Your newsletter is a PDF that they're able to just click on the links.
Absolutely. And then the other thing I'm trying to do to help our parents understand the link thing is use Bitly. So it's nice and short.
Yes.
They can copy, you know.
Yes, your husband is supposed to give me a little class on how to make a Bitly, because I don't know how to do it. Oh, you can? Good.
All right. So then just the last couple things I'll share. We have family fun every Friday, and every Thursday we're doing coffee chats.
Oh, yeah, the coffee chats. All right. We're going to have you back sooner rather than later, because we are out of time. You're awesome. Thank you for everything that you do. Our show airs here on 99.1 KGX, 92.3 KWXY every Sunday. Our podcast is uploaded each week. Please subscribe, go on to iTunes. Tell your friends to do the same. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Myra and Jasmine, and we'll see you next week.